Lord, we thank you for our scripture readings this evening, which remind us that you've got everything covered. If we see an obstacle in ourselves that prevents us from stepping out and being obedient to you, you can take care of that. So we just pray that we have a greater trust in you amidst all the challenging situations we're facing in our world and in our lives, that you will help us to truly relate to you and relate to the people around us who are often so filled with fear and a lack of hope, and that we have good news for them, that you love us and you want to get into our boats as well and help us to have an abundant harvest. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I must admit, I forgot to get the gospel when I came over. I'm a little distracted. I had a phone call after my last appointment this afternoon from my aunt that my uncle probably doesn't have very much longer to live. He's in hospice now, so I'm going to try to figure out a way to get there and see him before he passes on. And my mom can't travel alone, so I'm going to have to go with her. And unfortunately, it's in Georgia, in Atlanta, so I'm just trying to figure out how to do all that and everything. So I appreciate your prayers at this time. He's a wonderful man. Remember when he called me out of the blue a few years ago when I was having a really difficult time in my school and just asked how I was doing, and I was just so moved by that because, you know, he doesn't usually call and everything, and his mind has been a little rough around the edges too, but he still found the time and compassion to call me. So today we have our story about from now on you'll be fishers of men, you'll be catching men. And it's a beautiful reminder that, you know, as we grow in our discipleship with the Lord, we become more sensitive to the plight and problems of the people around us. We're no longer interested in stuff and things, but in people. Just like Jesus was, you know, he had a heart full of mercy and love for the people around him who were so often struggling in their lives, maybe with a spirit of shame or difficulties, and he came to bring them wholeness and healing. Remember Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and freeing those who were oppressed by the devil. And so now he's passed that mission on to us. We're to go about doing good, being anointed in the Holy Spirit, and freeing those who are oppressed by the devil. So here's three ways that we can kind of get a little more excited about that. The first is, you know, oftentimes when the Lord calls us, we're very much aware of what we're lacking and what's wrong with us. This happened with Moses. Go find someone else. You know, out of trying to defend somebody who was being beaten to death by an Egyptian, he took someone's life, so he was dealing with the shame of that whole event and everything. When God called Jeremiah, go find someone else, I talk like a baby. You know, I'm not an eloquent speaker, and do not say you're too young. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I called you to speak to the nations, and I will equip you and give you everything you need to do what I've asked you to do. I don't call and not equip you. So we see that with all the disciples. Peter today in the boat, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I didn't trust in you, and I wanted to say, Lord, we're already putting our nets away. Go away. Like me with my dad, we go fishing. Dad, we haven't caught anything. Let's go in. And he just keeps fishing and fishing. It's so annoying. Hearing that sound of that reel when I was a kid. It's like, argh. They're not biting. Let's go in. It's raining. It's miserable. But then he'd get one, and then we'd start even longer because you got to fish. So we're very much aware of what's lacking in us and our sinfulness. God's holiness casts a light on us and our sinfulness. So in the first reading with Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips, and not only me, but the people as well. We can say that today in the social media, people saying very hurtful things, that instead of using their tongue to bless and upbuild people and say words that comfort them, they say very hateful things. We just see that constantly. And there's such a temptation when people hurt us to want to go and fire right back at them, something, you know, tit for tat. So Isaiah was aware of his own unclean lips, but then he brought it to the Lord, and the Lord's like, no problem, I can take care of that. A little coal singe. And then he send me now, I'm on my way, because God has now cleansed me and purified me so that I can go forth and serve him and call the people back into the covenant that he established with them. And it's kind of like Benedictine nursery. You know, I spent the last week at a seminary, Benedictine Monastery up at Christ the King. Beautiful trip. I think I got more of the retreat than the seminarians did. They laughed at most of my jokes. But the periods of silence were wonderful. We couldn't even talk during meals. And then the Benedictines deliberately have like 2 minutes of silence after each reading. You don't just rush into the next thing like we do as Americans here. We're so efficient. And so it was wonderful, and we chanted the Psalms and everything. But Benedict of Nursia was around the 5th century, and he was in Rome, and he hated Rome. It was so corrupt. It was really falling apart. So he left, and then somebody who was commenting on his life said he had to undergo many purifications. The Lord had to soften his heart so he wouldn't hate the people in Rome, but he would form the first monastery of Monte Cassino, and he would form people and then send them back into the city so they could renew it. So they get the formation, they pray, they experience their own purification, and then on fire with the Holy Spirit, they would go back and re-engage the culture and evangelize it. Brilliant. So those people have been around for a long time, since the 4th century. And so that's what we have to do too. We have to examine our attitudes about people around us, the world, and want to be purified of any harshness or judgmentalness, and go out and love them into Christ and love them and evangelize them. So we have to go the same process of purification. And then obedience, putting out in the deep instead of doing things the same way every time. We've already done that. We fish in the same spot. No, you got to go out deeper. You know why halibut's like $25 a pound? You have to go really out far in the ocean to get it. And you have to go down 300 feet. It's like reeling up a barn door from the ocean. And I can only do about one now with my torn rotator cuff. But that's why they cost a lot of money, because they're really hard to get. And so sometimes as Catholics, we just do the same thing over and over again. And we wonder why we're not getting an abundant harvest, like confirmation. Every year we do the same program. The kids come and they don't return. And we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And the Lord's like, you know, you might want to try something new, because this isn't working. And we had a meeting, I'll give you a little heads up, I said this yesterday, that most of you weren't there, at the anointing mass, but we had a very interesting, that's the only word I can come up with, meeting with all the priests of the archdiocese, and it was supposed to be with the archbishop, but he's sick, so pray for him. But it was basically a warning that because of the shortage of priests, you know, a lot of the parishes are going to be asked to be paired with other parishes. And so the priests were pretty upset about that, because that's not a good situation to have to do two parishes, two pastoral councils, just doubling everything. And then they also warned us that don't be surprised if you get a call out of the blue to be moved this year because of the situation and the unique situation. So I'm like, wow, I thought of Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you'll get. But at the same time, I really believe that this is the result of a number of things that have happened over the decades where, you know, if we don't evangelize, we don't pass the faith onto our kids, we don't invite people to come to Mass, this is what happens. We die, we shrink, and God is allowing this for a greater good. So I went in the chat part of the room and said, you know, this is the good kind of pain, because it's going to make us more trim, more excited about evangelization. But the Lord is trimming the dead wood, and that's painful, but it's going to lead to something better. And so we have to always keep that in mind. I really believe that. So we have to be obedient and put out in the deep and try some new things, and God is going to stretch us, but he's also going to give us wonderful graces to do what he wants us to do. Do you believe that? It's not like, okay, here's this challenging thing, you're on your own, have fun. That's not how he works. He gives us wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit, support, friendships. Our prayer meeting last night was wonderful. I laughed a lot. It was just a very joyful thing for me. I needed that after the meeting on Thursday. So God gives us what we need, but we have to be obedient and be looking for that support and for the graces that he's going to send to us. And then the last thing is, you know, I love that you will now be catching men instead of fish, that the Holy Spirit will allow us to look around and see people's loneliness and depression and just they're having a hard time with life, how burdensome it can sometimes be. And we need to have our little spiritual antennas up. Lord, is there anything I can do for you? Do you have a word for me to share with this person, a word of comfort, a word of prophecy or something for them? And so opportunities will be rising up around us to affirm and encourage people, you know. And I love, I've told you this before, but every day you open the breviary, the first thing you see is Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another while still today. Wonderful way to start your day. And Lord, help me to encourage people when I sit down and meet with them in the office, and I pray with them, pray over them, bless them, and encourage them to stay strong in their faith and not to give in to the despair that's so often around us and the challenging situations we're facing. And all of us are capable of doing that. You don't have to be a priest to do that. I told the seminarians that. I said, some of you will go on to be ordained as priests, but some of you probably won't, because that's just, the seminary is a place of discernment. But you can do wonderful things for God. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, you're going to do wonderful things for God. Amen? And so are we. Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for being with us, for your faithfulness, for taking care of us. And we just want to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, as we continue to serve you as a parish. Help us never to allow our lives to be governed by a spirit of fear, but of boldness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And help us, again, to encourage one another while it's still today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.